We're going to be counting honks now. I had a couple good jokes, but if I can't hear you laugh...
We'll laugh.
They're really not worth telling. Let me remind you just real quick that between the hours of 10 o'clock a.m. and 12 o'clock p.m. today, it was 90% rain. The highest percentage of the rain we were going to get today was exactly during the time that we were supposed to be meeting. And when I found out that we were going to be meeting and having church outside, I began to pray, like, Lord, please, just hold the rain off for us. And I guess in a way I tempted God, as I would regularly go back to my app on my phone and check the weather. And it'd be 80% one day, and then, you know, a couple hours later it'd be 60%, 50%. And I woke up last night about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just had that on my mind so much, and I pulled my phone up, and I looked at my phone, and it was 90% rain between 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock. And I just thought, Lord, I just don't understand. What a great opportunity to strengthen our faith by parting the skies and letting the rain cease during this time that we want to meet together, Lord. Don't you see our efforts, and don't you see the labor that we're trying to put forth to honor you and to have a service? And lo and behold, here we are. Now, I know it's cloudy and it's been raining a little bit, but the radar was supposed to, it showed a massive yellow cloud of rain coming. And it may come before I'm done speaking. But even if it does, we've got two great messages. So if that doesn't strengthen your faith, something's wrong with you, because it sure strengthens mine.
Amen.
One of the questions that has popped up with a few different people during all this strange time to me, people have asked me, what is a child of God supposed to do when the things the government are telling us to do go against what the Bible tells us to do? And let me be very clear, that is not what is happening here.
I agree.
Okay? That's not what's happening here.
I agree.
It does make me a little unsettled in a strange kind of way, but I want you to understand, the government right now, with the mandates they're putting forth, I do not believe they're trying to suppress our religious freedom.
No.
If they were, there would have been National Guard at the driveway up here,
right,
forbidding us to worship. They're not saying you can't worship. They're just saying if you're going to worship, here are some guidelines to keep in mind just to help us all out.
Right.
And as Brother Marlon and I were talking the other day, there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
This is not the first pandemic we've ever dealt with. This is not the first virus. It'll pass on and life goes on. But it's important that you understand, I do want to try to answer the question, what is a child of God to do when government restrictions impede on their religious freedom? Because I think that's something that a lot of minds are wondering about. Even though it doesn't necessarily apply to our situation, it very well could one day, and somewhere today it does.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not in Ecola, and it's not really in America, but there are things in Canada you cannot preach on.
That's right.
There are places across the world where you can't mention anything really related to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a reality. It's just not a reality here.
Right.
I pray it never is.
Amen.
But what if it does come that way? Because that's something that's on our minds. So I want to just try to answer that for you biblically. Now, if you'll turn to Exodus, the 18th chapter to start with, I want to read a couple passages here out of Exodus, the 18th chapter, just to prove to you that a system of government is very much something that the Lord set up and established. Okay? So in Exodus, the 18th chapter, this is when Moses has led the children of Israel out of Egypt and headed towards the promised land. Now, the numbers will say, if I remember right, there were over 600,000 men, not counting women and children. And it also tells us that there was a little bit of a mixed multitude with them that weren't even Hebrews. It was a massive number of people. And so Moses is at the head of this people leading them out. And in verse 13, it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God." Notice that. The people are coming to him to inquire of God. And it says, "When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away." He wasn't saying it's not good that you're making them aware of God's law. He says you're biting off more than you could chew, and you can't survive this. Because remember, there's likely well over 1 million people, and there's one man here sitting to judge. And Moses' father-in-law, in a show of wisdom, says, "You know, you need some help." And he says, "Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do." Now notice this, it says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee." Now, do you see the establishment of a government here, per se?
Right.
Here you have Moses at the head, and he begins to say, this man, in order to help deal with the matters of judgment in this society, there'll be Moses, then there'll be leaders of thousands, and leaders of hundreds, and leaders of fifties, and leaders of tens. You see, the city planner is subject to the mayor. But the mayor is subject to the governor, and the governor is subject to the president.
Right.
So there's a hierarchy here of government, and that's what is established here in the book of Exodus for God's people.
Right.
But I want you to notice at the front of all of this government is one main banner, and that is God's commandments and God's statutes.
Right.
Nowhere in there does he say you need to teach them what you think. You need to make up these laws. It says you need to just tell them, you're just a vessel to tell them what God has said. And the people under you are to tell those under them what God has said. But it is God's law that everybody should be following.
Right.
Now, when you go over to the book of Romans, close to where Brother Neil was, Romans the 13th chapter, I want you to keep that in mind, what we just read in the book of Exodus. Romans the 13th chapter, in verse 1, this is a set of passages that often give us confusion when we begin to think about what if the government tells us we can't meet to worship because to worship God and to proclaim Jesus Christ would be a violation of our law. Now that's a different ballgame altogether than what we have now, but what if? So in chapter 13 of Romans, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Now, notice it says the powers that be are ordained of God, not the people that be are ordained of God. We've already seen in Exodus how the Lord established a government with him at the helm, and his law being passed down through the society, down to the smallest, youngest person. Now, God established government. God established a power to rule over the people. And we read over, I believe it's in Corinthians, where it says that we should be subject to those governing authorities so we can live a quiet and peaceable life. Without government, without some sort of order, it would be chaos.
Yeah.
But the government and the order should be surrounded by and infiltrated with God's commandments and God's truths, not man's ideas.
Right.
So it says here, For there is no power but of God. The powers that are be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, does that mean if a governing body suppresses our religious freedom and we don't give in to that, does that mean that we're resisting the ordinance of God? It does not.
Right.
Does that mean that we receive to ourselves damnation? It does not. Go on and read the next verse. It says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works." You see, the implication here as the rulers, the powers that God established was to be a godly power.
Right.
It was to be godliness that they instructed the society with.
Yes.
And it says, for godly rulers, let me add that in there, for godly rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. You see, evil does not like a godly ruler. Right? And godly people do not like an evil ruler. And I believe it's in the book of Proverbs where it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice.
Right.
But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. You see, godly people don't want an evil power.
Amen.
And as God has established in the book of Exodus back there, the powers that be should be teaching godly things.
Yeah.
And when there is a godly person resisting godly things, that is when we're resisting the ordinance of God.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, as I said earlier, the city planner answers to the mayor to the governor, so on and so forth. Jesus says in Matthew, the 28th chapter, and just so I don't misquote it, I'm going to flip over there to you. Matthew, the 28th chapter, and verse 18, I believe it is. Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate governing authority.
Amen.
Now, if the mayor tells the city planner to do something, but the governor tells the city planner to do something totally different, who do you think the city planner is going to be subject to the most?
Right.
It's going to be the governor.
Amen.
Because it is a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if our Lord Jesus Christ says, "I'm the ultimate authority and power in heaven and in earth," if anybody tells us to do something contrary to what the King of Kings tells us, we are to submit to the supreme authority. Now, let me give you a couple of examples of that. Brother McNeil touched on one a minute ago in Daniel, the third chapter. In Daniel, the third chapter, you've got the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in that situation, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, and he says, "When you hear the music, the law says you are to bow down and worship it." Now, what did God's law say? That thou art to have no other gods before me.
Right, right.
So here stand these three young Hebrew men, and they have been given a law by the mayor, if you will, to say, "You must bow down when you hear this music." But there was an authority greater than Nebuchadnezzar.
Amen.
That says you are not to bow down when you hear the music.
Right.
And so these three Hebrew boys refused to bow down and worship. And the Lord was faithful and He stood by them in that fire.
Right.
What about Daniel? When the king says, "You are to make no petition to any god for," I believe it was 30 days. And that's in Daniel, the sixth chapter. And I want you to notice this. There was a decree signed that you could not make a petition of any god or man for 30 days except for the king. And it says, "When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God." You say, "Well, Daniel didn't know what he was doing." No, he knew it.
Yeah, right.
He knew it had been signed. He knew that there was an authority that said, you cannot do this. But he said, there is an authority greater than you that has commanded me to do this. And that is who I submit to. Mm-hmm. And the Lord was with him in the den of lions.
Amen.
Let me give you a New Testament example in the book of Acts. In the fourth chapter, the Sanhedrin has talked to Peter and John. And they do, you know, they've done all they can do to the Lord Jesus Christ. They did everything they possibly knew to do to eliminate him and to eliminate his message.
Right.
They took it so far as to hang him on the cross. They put him in the grave. He comes out of the grave, and lo and behold, the message still continues on.
Right.
Don't you know that was frustrating to those wicked men? Like, well, you can't kill them. It's like kudzu. You can't kill it. It always keeps popping back up, and it's popping back up, and the Sanhedrin is throwing a fit about it. And they talk to each other, and they say, but that is spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, in my own paraphrase, I would say there is an authority greater than you that we are subject to.
Amen.
And Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
Amen.
Now there's three examples, two in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, of men who acknowledged the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, as the supreme leader and authority of all mankind in heaven and in earth.
Right.
Now, we don't deal with that a whole lot today in America. We have a lot of freedoms. The tricky part is, way back when, God said, I want to set up a system of government that will pass down my laws and statutes. But eventually, man started to put his laws in there. And now you've got a little bit of God's laws and a whole lot of man's laws, and sometimes those things contradict each other. But I submit to you that there is a supreme authority, and His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we may find ourselves in the fiery furnace one day, or we may find ourselves in the lion's den one day, and we may find great deliverances.
Right.
Or we may be like Peter, who labors and labors and labors and labors in the face of all that governmental opposition. And as history says, was crucified upside down. There's a greater deliverance in that than what was in the fiery furnace.
Yes.
And there's a greater deliverance in that than what was in that lion's den that day.
Amen.
So I encourage you, one, to pray for our leaders.
Amen.
That we would have men in there that would pass down God's commandments and God's laws.
Right.
So we would never be faced with having to decide which one are we going to obey. I also encourage you, if it ever does come to that, that you will have the courage that these men had to say, we serve the Lord, we belong to Him, we are His, and He is ours, and it is Him that we ultimately answer to.
Right.
I would also leave you with this. These men that resisted the government, they didn't do it in such a way to be belligerent and loud and hateful.
Amen. That's right.
Don't ever forget that.
Amen.
They quietly kneeled and prayed in their windows.
That's right.
Now, they didn't close their windows. They quietly prayed.
Right.
They quietly stood as the music played.
Yeah.
They simply said, we cannot help but speak the things we've seen and heard.
Right.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
Yes.
And these men were peacemakers and still served the supreme authority.
Absolutely.
So I encourage you, the same God that held off this rain, that by all the meteorological aspects should not have happened, the same God that held off this rain is the same God that sits on the throne.
Amen.
And we will serve Him in this life. And we one day will close our eyes and see Him face to face. And all these things and all the times that we've had to lean on our own faith, wondering, are you going to be with me in the fire? We will see Him, and He will be with us in that moment. I hope that's been encouraging to you, and pray for Brother Tim as he comes and closes us out.